Oh, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's wonderful to be gathered here among you today. There's fewer of you this morning. I'm assuming it has to do with the powdery white stuff all over the place out there. But I'm very grateful that you guys persevered and got here this morning. We'll probably have a few more people wandering in late. But folks, today we are here. It is a big Sunday. This is Confirmation Sunday. And we also have a baptism after the service today, and we get a sermon today. So basically, we got all three means of grace all packed into one day, and it's going to be a great day. So with that, let us come into our Father's presence. Let us come with open and willing hearts. Let us come remembering all the times we've fallen short this week, our brokenness and our weakness, so that we can bring all these things to the foot of the cross and receive the forgiveness that God has for us today. This is an incredible opportunity to be in the presence of God. Let's not waste it. Let's soak him up for all it's worth. And let's begin our worship service remembering the day we were baptized and brought into the family of God. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are able to gather together, a community of faith. I thank you that you have blessed us with each other, and you have blessed us with your word. Lord, I pray that we would come and listen to your word, listen to your teachings, listen to all that you desire us to know, that we might receive it and follow it and rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Worship you. You are here. you are. That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Oh, Good morning. On this chilly morning, it's my privilege to read the scriptures. Today, my name is Lars. I'm one of the elders, and our first reading is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you is first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me is without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture for reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because a power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." At this time, invite the children forward for a children's message.
Okay. In the lesson that Pastor just read, he was talking about a thing called blessed. Blessed are you when this happens, and blessed are you when that happens. What does that mean? What is blessed? Can anybody tell me? What is blessed? Does that mean something good happens? And when something good happens, who makes it happen? You're right. God is the one that makes it happen. Okay? He said, "Blessed are you when you are poor." Have you ever been poor? Sometimes I bet mom and dad think they are, but somehow God always gets us through, doesn't he? Long time ago, long before I got married, I got laid off. I couldn't work. The company wasn't working, so they didn't have any work for me to do, and they let me go. So I couldn't make any money to buy food. But they gave me a turkey for Christmas. So I put that turkey in a pot, and I added water. And every day, I would take a bowl of soup and add a bowl of water for 2.5 months. You know, at the end of that 2.5 months, that soup got kind of thin. It didn't really taste too much of turkey anymore. But God blessed me. He got me a job selling hardware at Sears. And so I was saved, wasn't I? Who saved me? God saved me, didn't he? You got it. Sure did. Yeah. And then later on, after I was married, when God said, "Blessed are the hungry." Do you ever get hungry? Really hungry? I tell you, at the end of that 2.5 months with that soup, I got kind of hungry too. But God still blesses us, doesn't he? Always sees to it we have a meal on the table, and the blessings always come from him. And he also said, "Blessed are you when you weep." And sometimes mom and dad, they get so stressed with all the worry and all the problems of feeding the family that sometimes they want to weep too. But God blesses them. I lost my job. And that same time, my wife brought home child number 4. And so we had 4 children in our house, plus my wife and I didn't have a job. How was I going to feed my family? And I was really worried. Do you know how long I was out of a job? 1.5 days. Yeah, 1.5 days. And God got me a job with a great big raise in income. I was the chief financial officer of Peterson Industries. Whoa, what a good deal. God is taking care of us. He is giving us these blessings. And so whenever we start feeling as though we are at the bottom of the pit, God is there to lift us up, isn't he? Always there, always blessing us. And as we hear that text over and over again, the wonderful Sermon on the Mount, and we hear those blesseds, we know he's talking about us, aren't he? He's talking about you and me, because we're the ones who are blessed. We're the ones that God is helping. Who helps you? God is always there, always there. Let's pray. Dear God, help us always to remember you, to have faith in you, and know for certain that you are taking care of us. Fill us with gratitude and thanksgiving and giving praise to your name forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
God blesses us. Sometimes blessing upon blessing, and sometimes the blessings can get so deep it's hard to count them all because you kind of have to shovel some out of the way to get to the blessings underneath. And I'm going to want to talk about one of those blessings today. We have to understand that when we sit here in church today and we look around and we see the people that makes up St. Mark's Lutheran Church, this isn't where we started, but that there were many people who went before us, people who sacrificed, people who God blessed and God worked through to give us the stuff that we have today by which we can worship God and gather in his name. And one of those guys was named Marv Linenbroker. You guys know this guy? Few people do. Some of you don't. Marv was a guy who was an artist, and I think I have to be a little bit more descriptive than that. He was, I mean, I'm not saying that he was good at drawing and sculpting and, you know, the things that artists do, but he was a real artist. And by that I mean he had a message that he put into all of his works. Marv was a Christian guy, and he was a passionate Christian guy. And what I mean by that is that he studied God's word. I mean, and he studied it intensely. He didn't just read the Bible, although he read the Bible a lot, and he studied the Bible a lot, but then he read books about the Bible and about doctrine, about faith, about his relationship with God and all the things that God revealed to us through this book. And he loved his God. I mean, like, big time. And let me tell you what the message was that came out of his works of art. It was all about this God that he loved and this God that he worshiped. And I just want to show you a couple of them. If you guys, when you walk out of the church, take a minute and look up above the three doors that come into the sanctuary. And what you're going to see are enormous paintings of the three big events in Jesus' life: his incarnation, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. Those were made by Marv because he wanted to pass on that message to the next generation. If you guys stop in the prayer chapel, you're going to see that the altar and the baptismal font are beautifully carved. Once again, that's Marv. And on the altar is the three means of grace put into relief so that you can't forget what they are: God's word, holy baptism, the Lord's Supper. Put up there in front just so that we can always remember the ways that God has promised to deliver us, his grace, the places that he promises to meet us absolutely every time we come. Isn't that incredible? And then there's another one, and that's this. In 2002, when this sanctuary was dedicated, Marv didn't disappoint. He designed this cross. Now, by this point, his fingers weren't strong enough to do the carving himself anymore, and so somebody else actually did actually carved this, but Marv's the one that designed it. And he's very specific about what this work of art means. And let me tell you what it means. What he says is this: when you come into the church of God, when you enter through the back door, we come in broken. We come in messed up. We come in guilty. We come in knowing we have failed, not just failed ourselves, not just failed our family, not just failed the people that God has put in the world around us, but we have failed the God who created us. We have messed up. We are broken. We have tried to fix it, and we can't. We have tried to just stop doing the bad things, and we can't. We're messed up, and we're lost, and we're hopeless. And we walk in the back door of the church, and all we see at first is the cross, that rugged cross, the place where our Jesus died. And the God of that cross, the one who suffered the one who died there, beckons you into the church and brings you to the foot of the cross, where he then gives you grace. We lay there undeserving, we lay there guilty, we lay there a mess, but God, the God who loved you, the God who made you, the God who willed from the beginning to have a relationship with you, to live eternally with you, this God was not okay with you being like that. And so he was going to fix it, and he died on this cross. And what he did on this cross was he paid the penalty for your sin. Your sin deserved death, and he took the death for you because he loved you that much, and he was willing to do that so that you could be forever with him in heaven and live in paradise, live the life that he wanted to give you from the beginning, but sin got in the way. And you sit at the bottom of that cross, and the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness and the new life that Jesus earned for you comes upon you, and you are made new. You are given hope where there was no hope. You are given purpose where there was no purpose. You are given belonging. The orphan child who had no one to speak for them now is a child of the King of the universe. And you sit at the foot of the cross and you marvel at the grace and the forgiveness and the belonging and the love that you have received. And you look up at the cross. And then you see the words that are printed, the words that are carved into that. And it says this: therefore, because of everything you've just received, because you've received grace, because you are now my child, because of all of this, therefore, you are mine. And now we sit and we say, well, what can I do? I mean, what's next? I mean, now that I'm here at the foot of the cross, now that I am belonging to God, now that I am his child, what next can I do? And he answers and he says, love as I have loved you. Okay, tell me about that love. How did Jesus just love you? By sacrificing himself on the cross. By giving everything that he had so that you could be saved. And now he says to you, as his redeemed child, what I want you to do now is I want you to love the same way I loved you. In other words, it is now upon us to follow Jesus. He went to the cross. And now it's our job to follow him. We're supposed to love as God loved us. That means we don't live selfishly anymore. We live in love. We see somebody around us who needs something. What are you going to do? Well, let's find out. He says this. He goes, forgive because I've forgiven you. Oh, yeah, that'll be easy. How much has Jesus forgiven you? Everything, right? How easy is it for us to forgive others? Not so easy. But if we have been forgiven so much, how can we not forgive the people around us? All we are doing is passing on the love and the grace and the forgiveness that we have been, that's been poured on us at the foot of the cross. How can we not forgive the people around us? And then it goes on and it says, make disciples of all nations. Anybody ever see the world? It's kind of big. There's a lot of nations and a lot of peoples and a lot of languages. There's a lot of work to be done. If we're going to, I mean, God wants us to be sharing Christ every place we go, right? But not just here, everywhere, which means we've got work to do. There's people out there willing to do the work, but they need resources. They need plane tickets and food to eat and, you know, the places to stay and places to work. They need stuff, and it's incumbent on us that we would be part of that effort to go into all the nations and make disciples. And it says, what are you going to do? You're going to go, you're going to baptize, and you're going to teach. He's not done yet. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Do good to all. Serve with gladness. Give thanks always. Do not store up treasures on earth. Be united in love. And so that's a lot to do. I mean, go dress the people who don't have clothes. That'll keep you busy for a while. How is this going to work? How can we do this? Well, it's not just you. It's all of you. And it's not just all of you. It's God working through all of you. The reason that this works is because God makes it work. The reason that we are capable of doing this task is because it's not just us that's doing it, but it is God himself working in us and through us, making us capable of doing it. But he works through us. This requires sacrifice. This requires denying ourselves. This requires us giving up stuff we like so that more people can hear this gospel. This is us doing God's work in the world and sacrificing, just like Jesus sacrificed so that we could be saved, us sacrificing so that more people can hear this message. God has given us so many people who have gone before us, people that God has worked through, people who have sacrificed with their life and made it possible for us to be here today. You know, people say, well, Pastor Bob is the one that teaches me. Well, yeah, who taught Pastor Bob? He's right there. Who taught him? There's always somebody before, right? And here's the thing. There's somebody who's going to live after you. And the question is, are you going to sacrifice? Are you going to live? Are you going to dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to worshiping the God who rescued you? Are you going to live out the faith that God has put in you? I mean, the fact is, you're already saved. You don't have to do anything, right? But the question is, with a God who has given us so much, how can we not worshipfully, gratefully, thankfully worship him? Our lives are an opportunity. Just like Marv gave us this art that helps us to see the gospel, there are other people, Don Barker, like, who sacrificed and served and lived his life in a way that gave us this building, maintained it and made it right for us. And today there's more people who are doing the same. And this is how God's church works. It works by sacrifice out of love for the God who saved us by his sacrifice. You know, today, Marv Linnenbroker is in the presence of Jesus. And if I know the man at all, he is absolutely giddy because he is now finally starting to understand all the things that he wanted to understand but couldn't while he was on this earth. He is spending time in the presence of an eternal God, and he finally has a concept of what that means. He is seeing Jesus in all his splendor. He is seeing the Creator, Father, God in all his glory. He is there in the throne room of God. And the thing is this. He didn't go for the comfort too early. While he was on this earth, he struggled and he worked and he toiled, and he did what was necessary for the church of God to go on. Now he's in heaven, and now he has peace. Our text today, Jesus is talking. And I love it because it's so much like this, you know, coming into the church and coming into the presence of God. And Jesus, he found a place where he could sit, and the people were coming to him and they were being blessed. They were being healed. It was absolutely amazing. And Jesus looked at the people and he said, "Blessed are you those who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." What was he saying? Those of you who are doing without right now, those of you who are suffering, who are struggling, those of you who are coming to me for healing because you're a mess, you've got it right because you're coming to me and I can make things right for you. And as you go through life and your life isn't going to be easy at all times, it doesn't mean God forgot you. It just means that this is the time when we work. This is the time we do God's work so that more people can hear about him, so that children can be taught, so that the next generation can be raised in the faith. And he tells his people, he says, the day is coming. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are those who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, and when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, because of Jesus. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. But there is another way that you can come into contact with God. Money is wonderful. I mean, it's kind of hard to live without it, right? But money can be a problem too. Money can be a problem because money can solve a lot of problems, right? If you're poor and your car breaks down, what do? I don't know. Figure it out, right? This is going to be hard. If you're wealthy and your car breaks down, what are you going to do? Get it fixed. Buy a new car. Lots of answers, right? Get a chauffeur if you can make enough money. I don't know. I mean, but the idea is that money answers a lot of situations in life, right? And if we can answer all of our situations in life, if we don't really have to face something that's truly difficult, the one place we very rarely turn is to God for help. The other thing that money will do is it allows us to amuse ourselves. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, I was this way. When I was in college, I had no money, right? And when the weekend came, I did my homework. Why? Because I was such a dedicated student. No, because I couldn't afford to go to a movie or do anything else. You know what I'm saying? When you don't have money, it is very difficult to amuse yourself. When you have money, there are endless amusements in this world. The trouble with amusing yourself is this. What does the word actually mean? To muse means to think. To amuse means to not think. Okay, so if you actually do have problems in your life, reasons that you would turn to God, reasons that when you enter God's house, the cross would be amazingly good news, but you are distracted by the world because there are so many things around you that can keep your brain from thinking about the bad things. You just ignore it. Blissful ignorance, avoidance. So that when God comes to you with his gospel, you say, I guess it's just a cross. There's no real good news in that for me. I don't have anything I need. I'm fine. Jesus in our message today, or in our text today, has words for them. He says, but woe to you that are rich, for you have already received comfort. Woe to you that are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will weep and mourn. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. What's he saying? If we are so comfortable now, that the cross is not good news to us, that the message of Jesus's redemption for us, that his giving us purpose, for his adopting us into his family, for his provision, for his protection, if all of that is not good news for you, you will miss out on what Jesus is trying to do, and you will miss out on the salvation that Jesus earned for us on this cross. We live in a very dangerous place, actually. We live on the wealthiest nation on earth. In a very wealthy time, we have to be careful about all the blessings that we have. We have to be careful how we use them. We have to be careful that we do not amuse ourselves to death, that we lose sight of what is most important, that we ignore and neglect our relationship with God, because this is what saves us. Today, these kids are going to be confirming their faith. And this is exactly what they're going to be doing. They know how Jesus brought them into his church in baptism. They know how he feeds them through his word. They know how their families have nurtured them in the faith and continued to help them to grow. And today, they get to say yes to God. They get to confirm their faith. They get to say this is what they believe and this is how they are going to live. As they do so, I ask that all of you would do the same. that you would reconfirm your faith, your dedication, your following of the one who rescued us all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we thank you so much that you have rescued us, that you have brought us into this family, Lord, that you have given us purpose and meaning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to follow you always. Help us, Lord, to live out the faith that you have given us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move, with my arms stretched wide I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. it's not much. I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for hearts singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
And now it's time for confirmation. These kids have worked hard. They've attended 2 years of classes with me, poor people. And we have studied the six chief parts of Christian doctrine as written in Martin Luther's Small Catechism. They've learned a lot, and they've got a lot left to learn, but they're ready for the next step. And so at this point, I would love for them to stand up as we speak the rite of confirmation. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts which God gave you in your baptism?
I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life ever after.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do so intend, with the help of God.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them as you have learned to know it from the Small Catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you desire to be a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation?
I do.
Do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word, to be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments, which are his means of grace, and in faith, word, and action to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do so intend by the grace of God.
All right, at this point then, if you guys would come forward, and families, if you'd come forward at this time as well. All right, I'm going to be reading the confirmation verse. Families, I would encourage you, when we're praying, that you want to place your hand upon your confirmand as well. That would be great. Olivia Marie Teuscher. Your confirmation verse is 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Keep alert, stand firm in your faith. Be courageous, be strong. Let all you do be done with love. Lord of armies, thank you for bringing Olivia into the protection of your love. I pray that she would be confident in your love so that she will courageously carry out all your work with single-minded devotion to you. Amen. Alana Maya Schnitzer, your confirmation verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Almighty God, you have adopted Alana into your family and desire to act through her. Help her to confess her faith through word and action as you lead her by your word and give her strength. McKenna Marie Weibrecht. Your confirmation verse is Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have kindled the faith in McKenna's heart and that you have filled her with your light. We pray that she would have the opportunity to shine your light into dark places in the world. Let people see your love through her. Amen. Kyle William Tibbles, your confirmation verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Great provider, you have given Kyle a sincere faith and a mind that seeks after your truth. Continue to guide him and give him words as that he may be prepared to bring you glory in his life. Jacob Christopher Lockwood, your confirmation verse is 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Savior, thank you for the faith that you have given Jacob. I pray that you would give him conviction and wisdom so that he will speak of your salvation at every opportunity. Bless many through him as he lives for you. Amen. Rowan James Morris, your confirmation verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Rock of Refuge. Alone we are weak, but Rowan is not alone. Help Rowan to do hard things out of worship of you, in the strength that you give him through his faith in you. Amen. All right, well, let me be the first to present to you the confirmation class of 2025. All right, and just like I said earlier, their work is not done. They have a lot more to learn. Nobody gets through the world with an eighth grade education. But your work isn't done either, Congregation of St. Mark's. You are also continuing to hold these kids up in prayer as they grow, as you pray for all of the children of our congregation and of our school. It is the most amazing thing that we have the opportunity to come in front of the living God, and he will hear us, and he will answer our prayer, and that we can pray for others. What an act of love.
Now I invite you to stand as we continue with our prayers to our God. Heavenly Father, in calling us to be your own, you also call us to serve. You have given us our strength, our reason, and our intelligence, our abilities. You have given us our resources. You have blessed us in these ways. Help us to use what you have given us to serve others and to proclaim your word and your truth. Lord, I thank you for our confirmands, for Jacob and Rowan, for Alana and Olivia, for Kyle and McKenna. I thank you that they've had an opportunity to reflect upon your word and your truth. I pray that they continue in that endeavor, to continue to try to learn about you, to grow in their relationship with you as you call them to do. Lord, I come before you today as well with the prayers of the church. We pray for Pat Wehner's friend who is continuing to wait for an organ donor. I pray that you grant that friend patience and peace, trusting in you and not losing hope. Lord, we pray for Sandra Canada. We pray that you would grant her healing and strength and comfort at this time. Lord, we thank you that Wayne Sprick's surgery was successful, and I pray that you would continue to be with him as he recovers. All these things we come before you, trusting in your mercy, and pray as Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Christ alone my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are sailed.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
How high the mountain I could. heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness saw through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip.
Thank you for joining us again in worship this day and braving the snow and such. I appreciate it. Couple announcements quick. We do have, again, family pizza and bingo night here coming up this Thursday. If you're interested and haven't signed up yet, just let our DC Lauren Bates know. Also, I want to invite Pastor Bob up here quick. Do I have to drag you? Hopefully not. So in case you weren't aware, it is Pastor Bob's birthday today. I'm not going to ask you how old. I just know that he's older than me. And but I think it would be great to have an opportunity to sing happy birthday to Pastor Bob. So here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Bob. Happy birthday to you.
And God's blessings.
God's blessings to you. God's blessings to you. God's blessings, Pastor Bob. God's blessings to you.
Yeah, Pastor Bob, yeah!
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. I've been here since I was 31. It's amazing. I'm only 35 now. Plus 20. So, yeah, it's been a while. But nevertheless, it is a blessing to be here. I love all of you so much. Thank you so much for this.
All right. A couple other quick things. Thank you.
Yep.
I want to dismiss the Sunday school students to go ahead. If you're going to Sunday school, go ahead and go to the back, and you will get on your way. I also want to make a little pitch for we still have adult Bible class here. It'll be probably in about 10 minutes, give time for some pictures to be had and whatnot. But it's continuing on with the Sermon on the Mount, and I invite all of you to come and participate in that discussion. And then lastly, we have a new member class starting up next Sunday. So if you have not signed up for that and you'd like to, you can go online and find information on that. Otherwise, go in peace and serve the Lord. I pray you have a blessed week. Thank you for joining us.